Acts of the Apostles. Then I'll say something to you. Y'all might want to be here today. Like y'all scared, like y'all nervous. Is there something out there, Rocky, to come out there and say, what's going on out there? Is there something out there that got you bound? We just had the Bible. Everybody ought to be free. What's wrong with your flesh, Tom?
Hallelujah.
I'm talking, I'm going to say this, I'm going to follow y'all home. See how tired you are. Amen. When y'all get out of these clothes, amen. I'm going to see when y'all loosen up them girls and take off everything. I'm going to see how y'all act. Amen. Y'all sit up here all stuffy. Something wrong. Amen. That's all right. It ain't going to be that. Acts of the Apostles, 14th chapter. And the 8th verse reads. And I might say Lystra or Lystra. It's pronounced both ways. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sick, a cripple from his mother's womb, whom had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet, and he leapt and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. Because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intended to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes and ran among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things, or your Bible might say idols, to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own way. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good. Gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. And with these things, they scarcely restrained the multitude from sacrificing to them. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitude. Oh, have mercy. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come now, God, to give you glory and to sit at your feet to hear your word. As we come now, God, as empty pitchers before a full fountain, God, as we come now recognizing, God, that somewhere along the way we've said or done something that may not have been your nature, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Then, God, we ask you to shine your light through us that our light may shine in this world. I ask your minister and your preacher, I ask you to give me focus, give me strength, and give me clarity, not to preach Michael, but to preach him Jesus. Father, we love you today, and we honor you, and we praise you. Bless the bereaved and the shut in, and those who are under the sound of my voice, who may be heavy at heart, give them strength to run on and see what the end will be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let the faithful of God say, amen.
Amen.
Verse 19 says, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city the next day, and he departed from Barnabas to Derbe. My subject today is the God of recovery. Look at your neighbor and say, God is a God.
It's a God
of recovery.
Of recovery.
I'm reading the biography of James Cash Penny. He was born September 16, 1875. He was the seventh child out of 12. And out of those 12 children, six of those children died. James Penny Cash's father was a Primitive Baptist preacher who actually had to farm to make a living because he received no money from the church. But his father was very strict in this, that he taught James Cash Penny at the age of 8 He told them that you're gonna have to work for the clothes that you get. James Cashman started off raising hogs to get clothes so that he could go to school at the age of 8. By the age of 10, the people started complaining around him about the smell of the hog, so they took and he picked up watermelon farming. Amen, somebody. He had tenacity to keep on doing what his father had taught him.
Yeah.
But then his father died. James Cashman wanted to be an attorney. He went to school, Brother Jimmy, and then while he was in school or on his way to school, his father died of tuberculosis. When his father died, James Cashman turned from the church because the church did not really step in to help his family, and the church did not come and see about them. And so James Cashman got hard against the church.
Yes, sir.
But he never turned away from the Lord because his father always taught him to treat folk right and to do folk like he wanted to be done. Amen. And it just so happened when James Cashman dropped out of school, and his father died, he had to help his family. He took a job as a salesman. James Cashman went to work in this store in Colorado as a salesman. James Cashman was not really making anything, barely making enough to get by, but yet his work ethic and his salesmanship helped him to be able to save money. And not only that, it's ironic how God worked, because the name of the company he worked for was the Golden Rule Company. Amen. Do unto others that you would have them do unto you, just like his father told. See, I'm trying to tell you now that God works on you, and whatever people he put in your life, he do it for your glory. And then he get the glory out of your life. Amen. So later on, James Cashman, again, he kept on going. He was able to go into partnership with this company. And then he ended up buying the entire company. Amen. And then later on, years later, that was 1902, 1907, James Cashman was able to open 2 more stores. Amen. And he opened those stores and began to allow other people to buy stock in the company, not knowing it over folk. He wanted everybody to come up to the level that he was on. And then James Cashman owned health came down, and his health got bad. And he had to turn his mind, started losing his mind. Now notice something, I'm gonna say something, because I'm gonna try to come back to this story. James Cashman was at the top of his game. He was at the top of his game because you know him now as JCPenney. Right? Everybody's shopping at the stores of JCPenney, and all his employees and family are blessed because of what he did. Now, I told you he turned from the church, but he always gave back to the church. James Cashman always took charity and took his money, and he always glorified God. Notice I said he turned from the church. I didn't say he turned from God. Because everybody that's in the church or not is not of God, and everybody outside the church don't mean they don't know God. I wish I had somebody up in here. But this man got so bad, he turned himself into an asylum. He went to Bell Creek Asylum and lost his mind. And I'm just telling you now that right at the height of your victory, we just came out of revival. We had some great speakers, some great preachers come through, amen. And in your own life, you may have had a great victory. But I'm trying to tell you in here today that when you reach the great victory, you better watch yourself. Amen. You better watch yourself, because one thing, when you reach a victory, you can mess around and get the big head. And then 2 people who say that they was with you, when they see you get blessed, some folks can't handle you getting blessed. Amen. And some folks will celebrate your blessing, and some folks are waiting to knock you off of your pedestal. Amen, somebody. But I want to let you know that God is with you, whether you're on the mountain or wherever you're in the valley. Amen. And I came to tell you today that no matter what you're going through, that God can take your situation and turn it around. Amen, somebody. And your defeat will be in the background. Why in the pinnacle of success? The elevator fall real quickly. Amen, somebody. Celebrate it on one hand, hate it on the other hand. Look on one hand, talk about it on the other hand. Yes, God. Amen. God is a God of recovery. Here in this text, you will find out that Paul and Barnabas are linked together. The Holy Ghost in the 13th chapter of this book has brought these men together, and they are beginning to fulfill the end of Jesus' mandate to the apostles, which go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all of those in the world. Ain't that right? First go home to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Paul and Barnabas is getting ready to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. And when they reach this point, the first place they go to is Iconium. Now, they lost somebody. Let me back up. They lost somebody. In the 13th chapter, they have John Mark with them, who walked with them, who was a disciple and an apostle as well. But John Mark could not make the trip because of persecution. He backed up. That's what's about in here. Just because folks come to church with you today don't mean they're going to come with you next week, amen. You got to run this race for yourself. Because everybody can't take persecution. Some folks got to go home and think about it for a while. Just keep on praising God. They'll be back after a while, amen. So John Mark leaves the scene. Paul and Barnabas are on the scene. This is the first of Paul's three missionary journeys. The first place he stopped was Iconium. Iconium was what we call modern-day Turkey today, was Iconium in that day. Paul and them stopped in Iconium, and there was a Jewish synagogue in Iconium. Then they left Iconium, Brother Jimmy, and they went to a place called Derbe. Now, you must understand, as I looked at the text, they went where God's people were. When you go out on the missionary journey, go to the heads and the highways, compelling people to come, you have to go where people understand what you're talking about. Amen, somebody. Because you can't go to people who don't know God and start talking church lingo and scripture because they don't know what you're talking about. Amen. But when you go to people who know about the Lord, you can say what the Lord said. Amen. So they went to Iconium and they went to Derbe and they began to talk. Because the people in Iconium, they knew about Abraham. They knew about Isaac. They knew about Jacob. They knew what God had done to people. But they did not know about the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because in those Jewish synagogues, they was teaching that you had to live right, that you had to obey the law. You had to work your way into heaven. And that's a bad teaching today that people are still teaching, where most of y'all don't feel worthy to come to church because y'all always feel like you got to do something before you come to the Lord. You don't have to do anything. The Lord Jesus Christ has already done it for you. He nailed your sins in the cross, so you have the right to come boldly to the throne of grace that you can obtain mercy. Stop trying to work your way in. If you accept the Lord and his work, you're already in. So they had Iconium. They began to preach. Notice what happened. I'm going to tell you, we just came off the Bible. Ain't that right? And one or two things going to happen here at Archer's Grove. When the word of God comes forth with power, two things happen. One set of folk don't accept what the word said, and the other set of folk don't reject what the word said. Now notice this. The folk that accept what the word said, they're just living their life and trying to share what they learned and what God has done for them. But notice this. Haters will always show up. And what I don't like about a hater will try to stop you from doing what you are doing because you're not doing what they are doing. See, I don't care what you're doing. Just don't tell me what to do. Amen. Don't tell me what to worship. Don't tell me what to like. Don't tell me what to drive. Don't tell me what to live. Just don't tell me. You do you and I do me. Preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21 said, preaching is foolishness to those who are perishing. So people who want to keep doing what they're doing, and they're going to hell anyway. They're going to enjoy themselves on this earth, and then they just say, I don't care what happens. There ain't no God. And if it is a God, I don't care if he comes back. I'm going to live my best life. Y'all hear that? Y'all hear me? Y'all say that? I'm going to live my best life. Who can lift up God on one hand and suffer blood on the other hand? Now, holiness is still right. See, I'm going to come to talk to you this morning. Y'all better stop this foolishness. The fact that you can live unholy one day and holy the next day. You want to begin to have a little bit better every single day. Goes to Lystra. When he gets to Lystra, it's totally Gentile. In other words, there are no Jews. In other words, there are no one who knows about the Lord. Now let me help y'all here. Everybody up in Israel is not of Israel. That's Romans chapter 9:3. Everybody that say they of Israel is not of Israel. Paul never God's saying people. Amen. Now when you look at people on TV in Israel, they did it right. I wish I had somebody talk to me. Because the people that you see down in Israel, they are not of Israel. They occupy Israel, and they are really nothing but Russians and Europeans. They are really not Jews. See,
See, y'all messed y'all up. I can't even thank you, Curry, brother, because y'all missed that all together, didn't you? But what you got to think, what I am trying to tell you, that everybody in the church is not of the church. Everybody in the church don't love the Lord, and everybody in the church don't love you. You don't believe it? Keep on telling folks all your business. Hey, watch what happens. Let something happen to you. Go home between your bones and wait on somebody to come by and rock me, baby, and dry your tears. You're going to find out who loves the Lord and who don't. So here they are in Lystra. Notice what happens. When they go to Lystra, the Bible says in verse 8, there's a certain man there. And it says that he's lame. Y'all see it? He ain't got no strength in his feet. He's crooked. Then the key factor says that he never walked. So everybody in Lystra know that this brother has never taken a step. But then when Paul begins to preach, it said that Paul looked at him, Brother Ronnie, and intently understood that this man had the faith that if he wanted to walk, that God was able to make him walk. Amen. And Paul looked at him and said to him, I want you to stand up on your feet. Amen. And I want you to walk. And the Bible said that this man got up on his feet. Not only did he get up on his feet, that the brother began to leap. And the people began to see it. Now notice what I'm saying to you. The other places had the word of God, amen, right? And they had a little bit of faith. Sometimes God had to work a miracle to show folk that he's still God. You are working miracle all by yourself. Because where you are right now in your life, folk talked about you and never thought that you would still be here. And you would be where you are right now. And when they see you, they got to declare that God is real. And the miracle was so good, the people rushed forward. Because they worshiped Zeus, and they worshiped Hermes, amen. And they thought that Barnabas was Zeus, and they thought that Paul was Hermes. And because he was the one that did a lot of the talking, amen, somebody. But then the priests said they came and they wanted to worship them. Now this is for somebody. Stop taking credit for what the Lord do for you. Y'all hear me now? You can't take credit for what the Lord do. Well, the preacher really preached today. No, the Holy Spirit used the preacher to say what the preacher said, and he prepared your heart to receive what the preacher said, and do it all to God be the glory. Y'all still don't get it? See, I know we the light. I know we shining, amen. I know we know the Lord. I know we know some scripture, amen. I know we can tell folk that God made a way. I know we the best things since sliced bread, amen. But I'm telling you, it's all about him, Jesus. He is the light of the world. So here it is, the blank. So, in ministry, this is for everybody. I'm not talking this pulpit ministry. In ministry, you got to be willing to suffer. Because everybody don't want to hear the gospel. I just told you, when the word of God comes forth, two things gonna happen. One set of folk gonna receive the word, and the other set of folk gonna reject the word, and you're gonna have a fight. He said, well, I thought the gospel came, Mr. Cook, so that everybody can get along. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, when the gospel comes forth, mother gonna be his daughter, father gonna be his son, because some folk gonna believe, and some folk not gonna believe. That's just the way it is, but you must stand at the judgment seat of Christ for yourself. Alright, so you got to be ready to suffer. Then you got to be faithful in your witness. No matter what happens, Sister Johnson, you still got to be able to say that even though it don't look good, God is still good. Then you got to trust. Yeah, well, here we go. You got to trust that in your worst situation, you know this deacon term, in your worst situation, you have to believe that God can deliver.
Yes, sir.
First Corinthians 10:13. Whatever you're going through, other folk are going through the same thing. No trial that's overtaking you that's uncommon to all men. Whatever you're going through, other folk are going through it. If you've been sick, folk been sick before you got here. If somebody died in your family, other folk have died in your family before. And if we live long enough, we don't die too. I heard, don't it? But that's the reality of what life is, ain't it right? And if you've been rejected, ostracized, and mistreated in your life, you better look at that situation, because somewhere along the way, you've been mistreating somebody. You've been ostracized somebody. You've done somebody wrong. But God is still good, ain't he? Let me work with you a little bit. I'm talking about the God of recovery. Let me work with you. Recovery. What is recovery? Recovery is the act and the process of recovery. Amen. In an economic depression, we need the economy to recover so we can keep more of the money that we make than going out in taxes. Ain't that right? That's an economic recovery. Amen. Some folk got eating disorders. Amen. Their bodies are out of whack. Amen. And they need a recovery of their mind or their body to come together so they can eat properly. Amen. Then you have folk with alcohol problems and drug addictions. Amen. We call what we call of substance abuse recovery. Am I right about it? You got folk, like I said, who folk have died. Amen. That's a terrible thing to lose someone that you love that's close to you, especially when it's unexpected. You need all of God to come and help you recover. Amen. You're going to mourn for a while. You're going to go through trouble for a while. But God will come in as soon as possible to make everything all right. Huh? You got relationship problems where folk need to recover. You got folk who've been sick. They need to recover. How many folk have ever had surgery, amen? When you have surgery, when the doctor tell you to do what you're supposed to do, take your medicine, rest, stay off your feet, whatever it is, he's telling you that you need time to recover. But then there's the worst one is spiritual recovery. When you get close to folk that you pray for, that you love, that you talk to, that you lift up, folk that ain't bread with you, folk that come to the house of God with you, then when they turn away from you, when they talk about you, when they act like you ain't nobody, then you need God to step in and recover you. God is the God of recovery. Recovery means that he will return you back to the state that you was in before you went through your trouble. Let me say that again. Recovery is when God steps in and turns you back to the state you was in before you went through your trouble.
That's right.
You got it? All right. Three things you can't recover. Actually, it was five. I looked this up. There's three things you can't recover, and the other one is five. The first one is words that you say after you say it. You can't get them back. You can't recover them. Moments that you miss, you can't get them back. Stop talking about, I wish I could be with mama them again or daddy them again. If they go to heaven, you can't be with them anymore. That's why we got to treat each other right here, right now. Because after this moment is over, you cannot get it back. The other one you can't get back. It's time after time is gone. You can't get it back, amen. And then the one that had five of them is one said, a stone after you throw. Well, I didn't say that because it's just like a word, amen. A word ain't nothing but a stone. You hear me now? And the other one is after you lost people's trust. It's hard to get that one back. Ain't that right? It's hard to recover when you get folk trust back. But it's possible to get it back. Amen. Job got it back. When he went through so much trouble, sickness, pain, children lost, wife turned, Job got it back. Joseph got it back. After his brother sold him into slavery, Potiphar's wife said he raped him. The brother ended up in prison, but he got it back because God allowed him to recover. Another one is that David got it back. David got it back after he lied, got Uriah killed, got Bathsheba pregnant, got a king that committed adultery. Nathan went to him and told him, what would you do to a man who took an ewe lamb from a man who only had one? David said, I'd cut his head off. And Nathan said to him, you are the man. And after he lost his child, then God recovered David's strength, amen, to become the king who he was, amen. Another one was Samson. Samson, who went with Delilah, amen, gave up all his strength and all his power, amen, who had so much strength from the Son of God that he killed 3,000 Philistines, but yet he lost his strength because he turned away from God and told the secret to his power, amen. But then he was grinding at the mill one day. He said, Lord, if you'll do it for me one more time, if you'll bless me one more time, I declare that I'll do this thing for you. I'm trying to talk for somebody this morning, but y'all have to do church. So let's go on and have the church. I'm trying to tell you that Brother Paul, he was in Lycia. When he got to Lycia, they took Paul and they stole Paul. Now you got to understand what the scenario was like. When they got ready to stone somebody, Sister Tracy, they would take them to the highest pinnacle on the hill. They would take them and push them off the cliff. They would fall down off the cliff. If that impact killed them, Brother Jimmy, they left well enough alone. But if that didn't work, they took the man or woman and they turned them over. Then they took a supposed to walk over and drop the big stone down on top of them. And if they died, oh, well and good. But if they didn't die, Sister Kim, all the community came together and began to take stone and to throw the stone down on the person until that person died. It's just like today when somebody start a rumor and tell a lie on you. And if that don't kill you, they'll go tell somebody else. And then they'll all find a stone in you and run back. But the Bible says that Brother Paul, they supposed that he was dead. A lot of folks say that Paul did die and that he was resurrected, because he talked about it in the book of Corinthians, chapter 11. He said, once I was stoned, one time I was shipwrecked, amen. But then he did not die, because if you go back and study the text said they supposed that Paul had died. And that Greek word supposed meant that they thought that he had died. But he did not die. He did not die, because the text said that he got up and he went back into the city. I wish somebody here would understand what I'm trying to say to you. The more folks throw stones at you, the more folks talk about you, the more folks try to beat you down, you got to get back up on your feet in the name of Jesus and walk right back to where they told you away from. And let them know, today I'm still standing. Lost his body.
Thank you, Jesus.
Brother was in an asylum.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the asylum, they said he was getting ready to give it up, big dog. But oh, y'all know what happened? He walked outside one day for the morning. They said he heard the sweet sound of somebody singing. Yeah. Now y'all know what they were singing? They were singing, blessed be the time. They bowed our hearts in Christian love. Yeah. Come on, John Pelle, help me close this thing. And the fellowship, when we come together in and on, is like to that above. In other words, no matter what happens, God will take care of you. And said that James Cashman heard those words. He said, Lord, will you really take care of me? From that point on, that man walked out that asylum. And he began to throw the stone. I just told you, J.C. Penny, that you see still standing. Cash Penny been dead a long time, but J.C. Penny still standing. Let me work with you a little bit, because I feel there's a little bit touching. James Cash Penny, when they call J.C. Penny, ain't nothing like J.C. Christ. Him Jesus Christ, the one that they wanted the stone, because that was the custom of the Jews. But the Bible wasn't written like that, Sister Shirley. The Bible was written that he would be hung on the cross. They wanted to stone him, Brother Jimmy, but they couldn't stone him. So the Jews took him to the Romans so that he would be hung. Amen. But they took him to Calvary's cross. And they hung him on the cross. The Bible said they hung him high and they stretched him wide. And they had him on a stone. But they didn't understand that he was the chief cornerstone. So they took that stone and put the stone on top of the stone. And put another stone on top of that stone. And just in case that didn't work, they put guards all around the stone. But they tell me that Friday, the guards were walking around their posts. Nothing out of Jesus. Saturday, the guards were walking out of their posts. Sunday, just before dawn, somebody got a little sleepy, amen. And the guards began to lay down at the gate, amen. And when the guards laid down, the Bible said that there was an earthquake, that there was a rumbling. Now J.C. got up out the grave. He didn't just get up out the grave, he got up out the grave with all power in his hand. I'm trying to tell somebody here today, stop being so worried, stop being so upset, stop being so afraid. He's better than any lawyer, better than any doctor, better than any father, better than any mother. Better than any sister, better than any brother, better than any preacher, better than any church. He's better. somebody trying to recover something. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of my son, I'm in the witness.
Yeah.
We're in the hospital.
Thank you.
I was there with him quite a few times. They come in and said, Doc, you're going to have to stay in here today. His face looked funny. But he said, Doc, I still trust the Lord. Then they came in and said, you can get out today. We're going to switch your medicine. An hour later, they come back and say, no, that medicine ain't working. You got to stay another day. And then, all, and then at the end, they just about pushed him out of the hospital.
Amen.
I wish I had somebody.
Yeah.
But you know what? James Lamont Turpin still had faith in him, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got up out the bed.
Yeah.
Went home with his wife and his family. Called me and didn't say, I feel bad, my head hurting, and he still was sick.
Yeah.
He said, Pastor, how you doing? He said, Reverend, I'm praying for you. He said, if it be God's will, I'll see you Sunday. When I looked and saw him come in the office, he's standing here Sunday. I just use him as an example. So every one of y'all went through something. The devil tried to make me stop. The devil tried to make me quit. But I'm trying to tell you that God will recover all that you go through. I don't know who that is. Doors of the church is open. There's somebody who never accepted Jesus Christ. Free will part of your seed. The devil still throwing stones, y'all. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm surprised so many of y'all come here on Fifth Sunday. Because some folk, they went other places. Some folk claim they need to rest. Some folk didn't go nowhere. That's why they went to church. Can I tell y'all something? When you get tired, and when you get hurt, stop. Listen to me. You get tired, you get hurt, stop. And call on the Lord. Because the devil wants you to stop.
Hallelujah.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord said, I come. But you might have life and have it going right. Isn't that right? And it goes this. When you stop, the devil don't stop. When you stop, the enemy does not stop. We can't stop. Can't stop loving people. Can't stop praying. Can't stop doing right. Keep asking for forgiveness. Keep lifting up the bloodstained ground of Jesus Christ. If you can't go by somebody's house, call somebody.
Yeah.
And come across your mind and your heart that's been going through something.
Right.
And God is showing you them so you can reach out to them. You ain't got to say no fabulous words. Sometimes all you got to do is just show up.
Yeah.
God, help your situation. Is that all? Anybody need prayer? Anybody need prayer?
Yes, sir.
Everybody pray with me. Anybody need recovery? Come on up here. I'm going to pray anyway. She might as well just come on up here. We have two or three of Galilee's in the midst. She might as well come on up here. Stop trying to fool everybody. Like the very ones who standing back there, y'all the very ones who need prayer.
Yeah.
Y'all know how I know? Because I used to be you.
Yeah.
I thought that I was so bad that God couldn't do anything to me. Because I heard somebody preach that. That's a lie from hell. I don't hear it. The Bible says, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. The only thing that can keep you from God is the rejection of the Holy Ghost. That's it. All the other stuff you can name, he's already covered. So as we calm down, pray. Won't you pray with me? Won't you pray for me? Same man that got healed in Elisha. The same healing power is in his hands today. Y'all know it. I know I'm standing before angels. I know maybe I'm the only one that God had to deliver. But if you look back on your life, look what he brought you out of. Do you think he brought you this far to let the devil have you? To let folk run over you? He did. He brought you this far so that he could use you for his glory. Father, as we come down, God, to give ourselves away so that you can use us. God, we're standing here because we know that you are the God of recovery. Some of us, God, have lost God, then we need to recover. We love to recover full strength, Lord, but we like the old one back, that if you just give us a reasonable portion, we're still lifting up our own hands. God, some of us, our mental capacity is strained because we're so messed up with work that won't give us time to rest. So busy with church that we can't see Christ. So messed up, God, that we can't spend time with our family. God, sometimes we're so messed up looking at our telephones that we don't have time to look today. God, we ask you now to restore those things we need to be restored. Then spiritually, God, step into our situation. Any of us, God, that feels disconnected, we ask you, God, to allow us to plug back into the power today. God, that we can be more like you. That we have so much power that we not only pray for our friends and family, but we have enough power and strength to pray for our enemies.
Yes, Father.
And God, if anything in us that's not like you, God, we ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Then God, we ask you to send strength to Lamb's Chapel right now. Ask you to touch, bless, heal, and deliver. Know you've already done it. Reverend Mark Graham, Sister Cassandra, and that family, Lord, that you can give them strength, God, so they don't be their last rites. Brother Marcus. Then God, we ask you to bless the Paula family, Pastor Brother Mike, all friends and family, events and family. Then God, ask you to bless the churches and the preachers who have to stand in the shoes of God and preach your words today. Then God, we'll continue to pray for our children, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren. Then God, we pray for one another. I want you to understand, Lord, that we do love you today.
Yes, Father.
We do trust you today. And we give it all to you today. Now we look to the hills and which comes down from heaven. My prayer for this church is this. The love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now and forevermore. Let the faith of God sing with the choir. Thank you.